up there if I need to. Sorry, Professor.
He doesn't care. I'm Sean Antone. I'm a student at Concordia Moorhead College. And I'm here with my father, Patrick Antone. Tell me, Dad, I guess just describe yourself generally right now.
Well, I'm 54 years old. Gone through an array of activities, if you will. Activities meaning jobs. And I've enjoyed most all of them. And I'm grateful for where I am. And I'm ready for any questions that my son has to ask of me.
Where are you from originally?
Minnesota. I was born and raised in Mankato, Minnesota. 1967, I was born, October 16, 67. My parents were very much meat and a potato family. Mom was a school teacher. Dad worked at the factory, and things went awry. There was no alcohol or despondent activities, but my mom wanted more out of life, and they ended up divorcing, and my sister and I, that was a year older than me, went to Houston, Texas during the oil boom in 1980. And I grew up, I don't want to say I grew up, but I experienced, we moved into a heavily diverse neighborhood, and I was one of very few white people there, if you will. And the culture shock was absolutely a thing. And we ended up moving and going to a different area of Houston. And I appreciated the diversity, but it was tough. And I graduated from high school in 1986 in Houston, and I moved back to Minnesota damn near before my cap and gown or my cap hit the ground back to Minnesota, just to go back and be part of four seasons, if you will. It was always hot and warm and whatever in Houston, and just to get out, and went back to Minnesota. And worked for a year. And if you need to interject any questions, Sean, please.
Yeah, you're good. You're on the right track.
Yeah. And I worked for a year and a half delivering bread. I was the sort of the, what was the name of the bread company? But anyway, I would deliver Hostess cakes and breads and whatever to all the restaurants at 4 a.m. My only days off were Wednesday and Sunday, because you were in a retail sort of situation. And I thought to myself after a year of that, well, this is ridiculous. You don't have any weekends. You don't have any, it was fair. Yeah. It was a fair life, but so I had a buddy of mine that I hung out with, and he said, I'm going to the Navy. And I'm like, wow, what? Really? And it wasn't 3 months later, I was in front of a recruiter and I signed up for the Navy, and I left Feb 10, 88 was when I reported to the, it was in Illinois, and it was a life-changing thing. It made me a man. I'd spent 6.5 years in the military. I enjoyed every part of it. Absolutely enjoyed every part of it.
What I'm gonna cut in here.
Please.
You said your buddy said he was joining the Navy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that kind of all that it took you to hop in? Like, was that kind of all you needed to hear because you didn't know what you were doing, or was there other things that
No,
you don't want to go in, or
that's a fabulous question. I my friend Todd, we called him Toad. he was awesome, and I saw him go, and I'm like, okay. So I went on what they call DEP, a delayed entry program. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna give myself 6 months to figure out what's happening in my life. But I did it, and I stayed, I guess, true to myself, and I'm doing it. And I left after my time up in 6 months with the delayed entry program, and left for the Navy. And I, and it was the greatest thing for me as an adult man sitting here, 54 years old. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Do you have any specific stories, fun, cool, crazy from the Navy that you'd want to share?
The program that I was in was called TARS, T-A-R-S, Training Administrative Reservists. So I was selected to be in that group. Just random. I don't think my testing did anything to do with it. But we would be under the guise of, or my boss was the reserve commander in the United States Navy, not active duty. We would train the reservists when they would come to us on the weekends. So my days off would be typically Monday and Tuesday, because we'd be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, establishing the command and have everything wrapped up. And then they would come in, and then we would teach and train. So we'd, you know, so you'd have active duty reservists being trained by people that were in fact boots on the ground. And that was, it was difficult a little bit, you know, because you'd have people that just were, they, what we called it back then was coke and smoke. You'd have a coke, you'd have a cigarette, and you'd be, you know, it was no big deal, but we were, you know, we were actively training to be in the military. Okay. And so it was unique. It was a very unique program, and I appreciate it. Yes.
Cool. What are some of the things that, or maybe specific moments, I'll say, in the Navy, if you can recall, that kind of stuck with you or kind of made you, like, shaped you a little bit as the person that you are today?
I can absolutely
remember any specifics.
Yeah, I can absolutely recall some of them for sure, Sean. It sounds maybe like I'm patting myself on the back, but I did well. I followed commands. I did my job very well. I had a couple of accommodations that were very important in the military in regards to being able to feel like you did everything that you absolutely could do, and they would accommodate you, whether it was with an award, Sailor of the Month, Sailor of the Quarter, Hard Charger of the Month. I had a meritorious mast, which was a pretty big deal with the commanding officer and a very select group of people that were saying, hey, wow, you've gone above and beyond. And it felt really good then. And that absolutely helps me today to know that, you know what, life isn't what you make it. You kind of have to make it about other people around you. And, and it felt very good. Yes.
Good. So what have you done? Well, actually, first of all, how long did you serve in the Navy?
6.5 years.
Okay. So
with an honorable discharge at the end. Yes.
Okay. So what do you do now as a job? I know you went over that a little bit, but what are some similarities kind of between what you do now, and the Navy, if there's any, or if you want to go the other direction, you could talk about a contrast between what you do now versus in the Navy.
Well, as silly as it sounds, I walked today erect and confident, and you don't get taught those things. It's just one of those things that you you do get taught. Let me back up. Forgive me. You carry yourself well, strongly. Mm-hmm. And, that was taught in the military, and you carry those things with you, in regards to being confident, mm-hmm. not overconfident. And, just that, you have a grasp on reality, and, I'm not taught by an 80-year-old grandpa, if you will, that says, well, this is how it should be.
Well, yeah.
Live it a little bit. There's some reality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important.
Okay. Do you think serving is something that everybody should do or can do? I'd say, okay, let's start with a capability. Do you think serving is something that everybody's capable to do? Or do you think that kind of boot camp basic process of getting in, I know it does like wean people out, but do you think that if you just kind of dead set your mind on it, do you think it's something that everybody can do, or do you think you have to have a certain amount of willpower
before you get in? I can't congratulate you enough for that question, and I'm not kissing your ass. I'm telling you, I watch people come and I watch people go. As mode, if you were as mode, you were sent back to go, okay. sort of come back up through the rankings because you didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't tough. It was absorbing your responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and walking the walk. And I don't think it was, it's not programmed. It's just absolutely a pliable or, impactful portion is wrong, but you absolutely learned that, you know what, if I do the right things will come.
Okay.
It was the first part of my life that I realized that if you do the right things will come.
Okay. Would you, kind of on the other side of that question, would you encourage people to serve? Do you think it's something that treats people well, or?
I'm not sure how much. Basically. That's a great question. I'm not sure how much it's changed, and I don't think that it's changed a pile. I mean, okay. you have. Unfortunately today, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but you have, it's a very complex situation. You have the transgender community, you have women in the military, you have,
mm-hmm. so the atmosphere has changed.
Yeah. I mean, I support all that. And I just think, I think that if you hold your own and you do the right things and do not treat anybody indiscriminately, I think that it's a great place to learn and grow. I really believe that.
Yeah. Just kind of overarching. I think we've hit a few of these already, but we can kind of tie it all into one question. What are the things just in general about the Navy specifically that you enjoyed that drew you to it, that made you appreciate it as much as you do, or at least as much as it sounds like you appreciate it?
I did. And a lot of it, my friend, is reward. You do the right things and you get rewarded. And you have people that are in ranking. We're talking about the military. You have officers, you have enlisted, you have whatever, but that look onto you and go, wow, this guy, he gets it, and you get rewarded. You get, and I don't mean rewards from, you feel it. It's a, yeah. It's a wonderful feeling that, you know what, you can be a part of anything and carry your weight, and you don't need to be a rocket scientist. Just know what you're supposed to know. Like, mm-hmm. I was a hydraulics guy. I knew my hydraulic stuff, and that was my job, and that was my mission. So they would call upon you to be, you know, responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. And that's what I, Abby, I'm going to kill you anyway, but you feel good about yourself. People are relying on you, and there's a mission at hand, quite frankly. Not that I was in the middle of a war or anything like that, but you had to take care of certain things, and you did that. And you got, if you did it well, you were looked upon as a member of the mission, and that was fantastic.
Cool. Okay, so I'm gonna kind of throw the opposite end of that question again. So that's what you enjoyed about the Navy. What are some things that you disliked, if you can pull some stuff? And it can be along any line, basically. It can be like, oh, this was tough, or it could be like, oh, this value that I grabbed, I don't like anymore, or something like that.
I mean, there were things that I wished that I would have done. Could have accelerated specifically in the P3 Orion atmosphere that I was in to be a flight engineer or something, to take that next level.
Yeah.
And I kind of talked myself out of, you know what, I don't know if I could do that. And, but they encouraged it, and they would always give you avenues to do that. And I did not take advantage of that, frankly. Otherwise I'd probably been a 30 year career guy. I really, yeah. But I didn't take advantage of that. I was happy where I was, and that's probably a fail. In a way.
Okay. What did you do? Because I asked earlier, it was a little more general. I was wondering if we could dive into it a little bit more. So what did you like work on in the Navy? Like what did you do as a job?
I was, you went to boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
You got your orders. And I remember my senior chief, who's an E7, which is pretty big in the boot camp world, if you will.
Okay.
Typically they're E5s or E6s. We had two E7s. And when I got my orders, he said to me, he said, you got some really nice orders here. And I'm like, wow, okay, what? And he's like, you're going to Brunswick, Maine. You're going to be an aviation hydraulicsman in the Navy. And you're going to be in a P3 Orion community, which is an anti-submarine warfare aircraft, really does nothing more than hunt for subs. That's a very Cold War era situation, 70s, 80s. And so it was antiquated for the most part. And he's like, go after it. They're great duties. And Sean, let me back up and ask you, what was that question again? that I didn't like or whatever?
No, this was just describing what you did specifically and then maybe like as a job.
Yeah,
like
no. You go to the base, boom, you get indoctrinated, you go through the paperwork. I happen to be in a quad or what'd you call it where you're at? Where you're in.
Oh, like a dorm, like a dorm. Barracks type
and
thing.
We had nuclear material on the base. So we had Marines and I would integrate and I was on that quad. So we had Marine Corps guys that were all, run and gun and all this stuff. And then here I was a Navy guy and it was fantastic. I would run with those guys. And so then outside of that, then when I would go to the facility, I was in charge of, not in charge of, I was originally associated with the hydraulic shop as a hydraulic maintenance guy.
Okay.
They called us bubble chasers. That was what it was. You would, you know, I mean, bubble chasers in the hydraulic lines, if you will, to make it sound silly. But we I was in charge of, you know, you get a call in the morning, we go over, we go on in the maintenance meeting in the morning. And they would say, all right, we're going to take Lima Bravo 3 and Lima Bravo 4 out today for some runs. So we need some pre-trips done on them. We'd go out and we'd stab the fuel tanks, all six of them, three on each wing, to make sure there was no water or anything in the fuel tanks. We check the brakes. We check the hydraulics, whatever. We'd sign off that, hey, yep, bird's good to go. And then I'd go to the oftentimes to the line shack, they called it. And then you were the guy that said, all right, Lima Bravo 3 is going out in 15 minutes. You put your helmet on with your ear stuff and your goggles. And you go out and you turn up, you know, it was all hand signals. There'd be four or five guys in the cockpit. Actually, there'd be the co-pilot, pilot, engineer. And you'd start one, boom, 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 two, boom, 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 three, boom, 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 four, boom, boom, boom. And then you'd carry them out onto the field with hand signals, send them off, see you later. Mm-hmm. And then you do the same thing when they came home. They'd hit the deck, they come back, you have to draw them in, use your hand signals, your wands if it was at night. And in Maine, we'd have some seriously crazy weather, man. We had ice. We had a very dramatic one evening that it was glazed ice, and the plane started to slide, and the pilot, thank God, was our commander, who's a very seasoned pilot, uses thrusts on the four engines, not his brakes, not his steering, to bring that aircraft in without hitting another aircraft, which was parked. And we would stab it down right there, and we'd deal with it in the morning. Yeah, it was fun.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like there's awesome. A lot going on there.
Fucking awesome, Sean.
Yeah.
Sorry about the Effenheimer if this is recorded.
You're good. Well, we can probably. I've got one final question to kind of wrap it all in. I think I might have asked some version of this question already, but do you think it's important to serve? Like, it's something that people should do if they get the chance?
I absolutely do. And I put that against what I've described to you this evening. And I will also use your mother's brother, who's currently the commanding officer of the USS America, which is the largest amphibious assault ship that the United States of America has floating on the ocean today. And he used to bury beer cans in his backyard and was a dumb shit. And right now, he is the commanding officer of the USS America. That is a fabulous deal. And I can't even describe, Sean, what that means. Have your shit together and you can do anything. As he proved to us.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's about it. I think we're good.
Well, I hope you get an A on the paper. All right.